We had a really good class this morning. It was enlightening as we talked about the devil and his angels of light or messengers of light. And those are also speaking of Lucifer, which really is not the Satan, but it is Satan that is our enemy. And I wanted to talk about that this morning as we consider the fact that we are sometimes needing to break free from Satan's stronghold. I have the horned devil up in the top of the picture. I was researching that on the computer to find a suitable picture, and sure enough, Lucifer was there. And when you look at the Bible teaching about Lucifer, it's not really Satan at all, but it's come to be known as that publicly and popularly. But I wanted to put something up that would remind us of the devil and how strong he is. And we're going to be looking a good bit at Ephesians, the 4th chapter through the 6th chapter, as we talk about how to break free. We have to recognize that I have an enemy, and that you have an enemy. Amen. And that enemy is real. It's not psychotic to think about that. It is real because the Satan is real. He appears first in the garden and succeeded in the garden of enslaving Adam and Eve. I know from the teaching of the Bible that they were repentant and that the devil had them in its grip until the day Christ died on the cross. I want to look now at ourselves to recognize the reality of the bondage that's there. We have a real enemy. We have to understand that. In Ephesians 6, 11 through 12, the apostle said, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." There's so much about that I don't know. But I do know enough to make me frightened. I know that the devil is my enemy. I know he has regard for me. And I've thought many times about what Jesus said to Peter when Peter was vacillating, and Jesus said, "Peter, the devil has asked to have you." That's always been a passage that scares me, because I think he does the same thing for us. Amen. I believe the devil knows your name. I believe the devil knows my name. He knows our weaknesses. And the devil will do everything he can to bring us under subjection and into bondage. When you look at the fact that the whole world lies in the evil one, we see that, we understand that, and we're hoping not to be a part of that great people that are there. But in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9, Peter warns us, as he knew for real that this was true, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." So this is not something unique to us. But I'm aware this morning that the devil knows my name. The devil has looked at my life and he understands my weaknesses. And if he can, if I don't steadfastly resist him, he'll put me under bondage. And many, many people are under bondage to Satan and don't even realize it. They're just enjoying the sinful work life. So Satan wants to destroy and to steal. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. "I have come," Jesus said, "that they may have life and may have it more abundantly." John 10 and verse 10. And so the thief there is like the devil. He's coming to rob and to steal and to kill and put you under bondage. It's a terrible thing to think that people are walking around dead, they're living. They're truly in bondage to the devil and don't even know it. Amen. Many people are not reading their Bibles. Many people don't really understand Satan as a reality. They don't understand the awfulness of the bondage. When I think of the bondage of Satan and try to describe it, in my mind, I think of a drug addict. Someone who has cocaine or heroin. And they have to get up each morning, probably having to spend $500 to $1,000 in order to get their fix for the day, which means they're going to rob and steal and kill in order to get their fix for the day. And I've talked to people who have been in the bondage to drugs and seen that sort of thing. And one lady told me that she's free now of the drug addiction, but she said there are smells and sounds and things that make my mouth water. And she'll always be susceptible to that because she has been addicted. She has been in bondage. And to see the mass of humanity today that's in rehabs trying to fight this addiction, and in these big cities like Chicago and New York, there are thousands and thousands of people under bondage to Satan, and they don't recognize the evil. I look at the horned critter there with the red eyes, and I know that's just a symbol. That's not the real thing. But we try to figure out just exactly what the devil wants. And then we begin to understand something more about him. In 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, we have a help from God. And how powerful it is. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for putting down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." We can do it. I recognize that sometimes addictions like that need medical help. I'm not opposed at all to people getting rehab and medical help to get across the burden of addiction. But there's got to be a firm foundation of faith for it to last. Amen. And God has given us spiritual strength that we can pull down strongholds, whatever they may be. And your own imagination can carry you into those strongholds. And they are listed in the Bible as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And those are strongholds. But the Lord can set us free from this bondage in which the devil would bring us. For example, we break free of Satan's stronghold by this particular passage in Ephesians 4. "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil." That's an interesting phrase when it talks about giving place to the devil. There are some people that say, "Well, I live a good life. I'm a good husband. I'm a good father. But I enjoy my liquor. I enjoy my alcohol. Every once in a while I'll stray from the marriage bed." And we're giving place to the devil. We're allowing him to have a place in our lives. And to be a faithful Christian, he's got to be destroyed. And the bondage of the Satan has got to be broken. Amen. And it can be done. And it should be done. But we've got to recognize who our enemy really is. In Ephesians 4, in breaking free from Satan's stronghold, Paul said, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off." Here's something we have to do. God will do for us things we cannot do, such as grace and mercy, giving us the Word of God, giving us the church. But there are some things that we have to do, and I have to make a decision in my mind. I'm going to put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That's what it means to be a Christian.
Amen.
Now, there has to be a deliberate decision. I know where I am. I know what I'm doing wrong. I'm going to stop that.
Amen.
And instead of having that old man, I'm going to put on the new man by forgiveness and by the creation of the new man in Christ Jesus. That's something we have to see. That's something we have to understand. And that's something we have to accomplish. We've got to put off and put on the new man instead of the old man. The need for truth, as we said earlier, "For indeed you have heard that him and have been taught by the truth that is in Jesus Christ." Here's a family looking at the Bible. It's what we have had in years past, and the family is under attack, and the Bible is under attack. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's the breaking of the bonds of Satan. Reveling in the truth, knowing the truth, reading the truth, living the truth. It's got to be a way of life. It's not something we pick up on Sunday morning and go to church and then go home and never think about these things again. This is something that is a way of life. It's something that is true as John in his 1 John chapter 1 was talking about when he talked about abide in Christ. The word abide is a lengthy word in meaning. You keep on abiding. You keep on doing. You keep on serving the Lord. And this has got to be something we understand. I'm not just a Sunday morning Christian. If you find me on Friday night, I should be on Friday night anywhere that's good. At home, a movie, or whatever. But Christ is still abiding in me. When you go to work, you have all these temptations at work or the problems at work, but you still hold on to that faith, and it guides you even through those bad times. It will make you free. And the need for truth is that Satan is the father of lies and the great deceiver. We had a good class this morning. When we looked at Jesus, Paul telling us about the devil becoming like an angel of light, and people are fooled by them. Here's what Jesus said about the devil. "You are of your father, the devil," speaking to those hard-hearted Jews. "And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him." No truth in him. He is absolutely, completely evil. Now, do you want that on your side? Do you want to be with the devil under those kind of conditions? When he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. That is such a vivid description of the devil that we all ought to be afraid of him. And I would be afraid of him if I didn't have my life in Christ. Amen. It's so wonderful to know that Paul said, "My life is hid in Christ." That I put on Christ and I put on the work of Christ so that I'm protected from this evil thing that's out there. He knows your name. He knows your weakness. As Ron Halbrook told me one time, he believed in the providence of God, but he also believed in the providence of the devil. Amen. And what that means is the devil will be able, through the natural means of life, to put in front of you a lust of the flesh, or pride of life, or this other thing that is so bad that it's listed among the three. And when you feel, and I've heard this expression, "Oh, the devil's been clawing down my back." I felt that when sometimes my temper liked to get away with me. And that's something that the devil can operate in. Just something as simple as anger. And the Bible says, don't let the anger go down on your wrath. Don't hold a grudge. And I've had people damage my family in such a way that I had to literally control my thoughts. And I had to realize that if I kept on feeling that grudge toward that person the way I did, I'd spend eternity in hell along with him. Amen. And you have to learn how to forgive. You have to learn how to put things in God's hands. And that's exactly what I've been able to do through the knowledge of the Scriptures. So, Paul understood the devil. "I fear lest someone as the serpent deceived Eve." Now see, he makes this real. There are those who want to mythologize the Satan, not really being a serpent, but he was a serpent in the garden and he was able to do his evil work. "He deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And this is a thing that we've talked about in class as well as the elite. the Gnostics, who thought they had a better knowledge of God than the apostles did, and they wound up by worshiping the Satan. They believed that the serpent in the Garden of Eden was the best person, and that God was the bad one. And the devil has a way of making evil good and good evil. And I've got to be aware of that. As Paul said in another place, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. So I can see him operate. You know, it's something to see, go to the mall, and you see people walking through the mall nearly nude. And now you worry about somebody with a gun coming in and shooting people like they have done recently. And evil is all around us. And Paul said, I'm not ignorant of the devil's devices. Well, I understand the devil's devices, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. I understand that sometimes discouragement can overtake us. And we sang, dare to be like Joshua. And he said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We sing about that, but that's good advice. And we need to recognize that. Also, the answer to the devil is always Jesus Christ. And I understand that from the time that Jesus knew he had to die, he went into Hades. And I know that he had promised that I'm going into the strong man's household. I'm going to spoil his goods. He did that in Hades. The devil must have been working and working and working to keep Jesus in death. But Jesus said, I have the power to lay down my life and to pick it up again. And in righteousness, he spoiled the goods of the devil and gave us hope, because we're going to die, and I long for the resurrection.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus can do. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And so, most assuredly, Jesus said in John 8, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Have you been there? Do you recall when you were not faithful in attendance, when you used bad words, when you drank alcohol, when you did some of these things that the world embraces? Who commits a sin is a slave of sin. And the slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. We've been made free. We've broken the bonds of the devil. When you went down into the watery grave of baptism, having repented of your sins and confessed the precious name of Jesus, when you came out of that water, you broke the chains of Satan.
Amen.
And that's what we need to tell people all across the world, every way that we possibly can, that when you let the blood of Jesus operate in your life through baptism, you break the chains of that bondage and you're set free. And what a wonderful life that it really is. And so we set the course to walk in truth. This is a conscious decision. You don't accidentally obey the gospel. You don't accidentally flip through the Bible. You've got to go in a course that lets you know what the truth is. And Psalms 86:11 says, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. And so we sang this morning about the Word of God, sweeter than honey, greater than the finest gold. And it is true. I look at my life, and I've told you before, I look at what I could have been when I look at back my relatives in East Texas. I could have been just like them, but had a mother that loved the Lord and took us to worship services. She was not a brilliant woman, but she had a faith like Joshua.
Amen.
And I heard my father curse her many times for worshiping God. And it has drew me closer and closer to God, because I could see the difference between him and her, and between the Lord and the devil. And so here's a conscious decision that we make. I'm going to walk in the ways of the Lord. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to let him re-put me under bondage. I'm going to do the things that John talked about. I have no greater joy than to hear of my children who walk in the truth. And so we have to destroy things. But now, you yourselves, Nobody else can do this but you. You yourselves are to put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds. It's a wonderful thing to stand free from Satan. It's a wonderful thing to have the knowledge that I'm free, that I've been set free, because I know that when I was baptized, my sins were forgiven. And I know that when I pray today, that God will hear me, and as I repent of my sins, they're gone. And so I can look at this and say, I put these things away. They're not in my life anymore. They're not in my life anymore. Can you say that? Can you say you put off these things because you're a child of God? You put them in the garbage. In Ezekiel 18, repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you've committed. Get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? That's a question that haunts Christians as you look back in the Old Testament. Nadab and Abihu and others who worshipped the golden calf. Why would they do that? They saw the powerful works of God coming out of Egypt. They saw the powerful works of God under the prophets. Why would people die? And that's a question that each one of us has to answer. Why would I go to hell? I don't want to go.
Amen.
And if you don't want to go, you don't have to go. And that's a wonderful thing to know, that God has made it possible that we can walk with Him in white in heaven. That ought to be a desire that is sweeter than honey.
Amen.
Is better than fine gold. To think that I am going to be able one of these days to walk to heaven, see Jesus Christ face to face. And John says we'll know Him because we'll see Him as He is. We'll see Jesus face to face. We'll walk before the throne of God. If that doesn't excite you, then you're beyond help. We need to be thoughtful that the devil is real and heaven is real.
Amen.
And we've chosen, like Joshua, to serve the Lord. That's what we have to do, to put off those things. And so, we say in Hebrews 12:1, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Adam, Joshua, Jesus Christ, the patriarchs, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12:1. I want to ask you, what is the sin that is so easily set before us? Faith. Lack of faith. That's the sin that is so easily set before us. We get the monotony of life. We get the difficulty of sin. We see so many discouraging things. Oh, we're in a political event that'll last till November. I get so discouraged. But I recognize that the Lord's going to be in control, and so I just step back and let the Lord do His work. And so I lay aside those things. So I just want to ask you this morning, can you lay those things aside? And we want to live, so we do something to live. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body, you will live.
Amen.
And that's what I've chosen to do. I'm so glad for free will. I would be so hateful to think that I'm compelled to go to hell because God just made me that way. And there are people that believe that. Primitive Baptists and those of Calvinists who believe in the original sin and all of that sort of thing, they have no hope. They just have to wait and see what God is going to do. But here we are studying the Bible, understanding the plan of salvation, understanding what it means to live by the Spirit, living by the Word of God, and heaven can be our home. It's so good to talk about that. Now, this is really what I love to do as a preacher. I know there are times when we need to be against sin and negative. Jesus was negative in Matthew 23 when he talked about the scribes and Pharisees and their hypocrites, and they were like snakes and full of dead men's bones. There are times when that language needs to be used. But the good part of preaching is telling people about heaven.
Amen.
And that we can go there. So will you, with me, make up your mind today, whatever it takes. And I've prayed this in the past. It sort of frightens me. I ask the Lord to do whatever He needs to in my life to be sure that I go to heaven. If He needs to chasten me, if I need to learn things, Lord, make it possible for me to go to heaven. And that's a good prayer to pray. Whatever it takes, I want to go to heaven. Don't you? You're present this morning. Be free of the bonds of Satan. Break the chains that he can hold over us through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, and sometimes discouragement and the affairs of life. Be free from the devil. Be able to walk. G.C. Brewer was a proud man. He's an older preacher many years ago. Somebody asked him, Brother Brewer, you walk like you own the world. He was an erect figure and he walked with pride. And he says, no, I don't own the world, but my Father does. And that's true.
Amen.
And so let's walk with our Father. You need to respond to the invitation this morning in repentance of things that have been wrong in your life. Put those things off. Pray to God, and we'll pray with you that God will free you from the bonds of Satan. Write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life that we talked about recently. And let's go to heaven together. Would you come forward if you need to as we stand and sing?